time to sit, to think on things that are eternal, to have a discussion that we're not initiating, to have thoughts that we weren't necessarily thinking, to be around people that are drawn here by some association with you. Father, would you work the gospel deep in our heart so that our eyes are fixed on you, like we're looking at Joseph in the sermon, that we would be faithful ones, living, alive, very thankful for life, but Father, able to represent you through whatever you have in our life, with our health, our season in life, relationships, and then out in the community. Father, would you help us not to just grow in knowledge? Help us not to just grow in desire to be logical and be right and wrong. Father, help fellowship with you to be precious. John 15, that we would be abiding in the vine, that would allow fruit that remains, and that we're just so busy growing in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the actions that come are a response to that. Help us, whether it's confessing our sins, whether it's going through a tunnel of our own making or of somebody else's making or whatever. Father, I'm praying for the gospel to be working in our hearts. And then you said that it would spread. So, Father, would you work in and through us today? As thank you for a little bit of interaction between us. Help it to be building action, building your kingdom, and it's to the point that we can encourage each other's souls to be faithful to you. You are the great one. So help us now as we work on our assumptions with the gospel here in Sunday school. Help us to do it against the backdrop of your word, guided by your spirit. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I keep thinking about showing that last clip again to remember so we don't get lost from where we've been talking. We're looking at the analysis in the Southern Baptist Convention. They said, state of the SBC. What do we need to be concerned about? In the SBC, they were saying, we have this problem with how we call others to Christ. It says, great that we want to get the gospel out, but what happens if what we're doing is actually undermining the gospel? That people aren't getting saved? That the growth we're calling growth is not true growth? How do we get a growth that comes from God? What is genuine conversion? We went through a lot of things. It was helpful for me to think about the Lord's Supper, helpful to think about baptism to start that discussion. But he comes to the end and he says, we don't want to be negative. You know that there's, I'll try not to mention too many names from the front. I'll mention names to you when we're talking, but it's amazing. If I say Joel Osteen, you say, that's the name he says. Yes, that's the one I'll say. It's way out there. But see, once you say a negative, that's what sticks in your head. We're not looking to just stand against. We're looking to stand for. And so Mark Dever comes to the end. And he says, okay, look, all we're looking for is churches that are known for loving God and loving each other. And he says, the churches that do that, that are known for that, are going to be busy about five different things, he said. Discipleship, discipling, evangelism, raising of leaders, church planting, missions. And he said, and the germ that is going to grow inside these churches that love God is they're going to be looking to follow Jesus. Churches that follow Jesus, following Jesus, is going to lead to these our energies in these directions. So if the germ is following Jesus, and the churches are to be known by loving God, somehow we've got to figure out how to grow in loving God and that leads to loving others. He said, over here, loving God and loving others. Okay, we know that from the Old Testament. We know the greatest commandment, and the second is like, you love your neighbors yourself. Okay, we want to be known by that. And he says, but you're going to see, practically on the ground, you're going to see people following Jesus. Okay, how do these relate to each other and lead to these common mission, this common mission? How does focusing on our churches being marked by loving God and loving others, how does it foster this germ? How do they relate to each other, this following Jesus, loving God? We got to figure that out so we can figure out, are those the things we should be doing, those things in red? Some of you said, well, and he said, some churches focus on one more than the others, and that's the argument. Even when you focus on them, are we doing them rightly? Well, we have to go back. He said, well, we follow Jesus. Well, who follows Jesus? Who is Jesus important to? So we've got to dig through this. Now, here, this is a piece that keeps coming up, and I'm going to put it here in the front. I'm going to put it, all right, wait a minute. All right. Yeah, all right, all right, all right. When do we take things apart? When do we take things apart? Your car, a computer, your taxes, when it's broken. When do you take things apart? When it's broken. Nicole? When you want to know how it works. When it's broken, when you want to know how it works. Brad? Yes, when you want it to work better, all right? You want to clean or optimize it. There you go. When do you take things apart? Go ahead. Why? What are you going to take? What are you going to take apart? Yes. All right, kids just take it apart, yes, and I'm afraid of that. You know, if you want to find a cereal bowl, it's probably got the pieces of something in my house in it. I can't stand that. I go around my house, and there's another cereal bowl, and it's got this taking apart and sitting in it, all right, all around the house. All right, when you're curious, anything else? When do you take something apart? All right, when you need another part to fix something else. All right? When you're repurposing, right? Those of us that have more in our house than we wish was in our house, that's usually what's underlying that is, right? I might need that sometime, right? I might need that somewhere, right? That's usually there, all right? And there is a line in here between those of, you know, when somebody dies, I'm just going to burn the house and everything in it. You know, just stop, all right? It seems, stop. There's another thing beside hoarding that maybe something has value, and you go, according to who? Well, now you're moving on to the last. Anything else? When do you take something apart? When you appreciate it. When it's something, you know, I'm thinking about a scientist. Oh, I hate science. Susie does so well with science, right? All right. I'm amazed that she loves science and stuff. She'll talk about it all the time. I told you, she gets up in the night to do the stars, and she runs in the backyard and finds some kind of, you know, butterfly or something. And cares about the kind of stones that are in her backyard or whatever. And it's like, that means nothing to me. But we look at a scientist. They're endlessly taking things apart. Yes, to see how it works. But there's also, then, they have a great appreciation, right? If I just toss it, right? They say, you don't know what this is worth. So every reason you're saying here is what's going on inside of here. What I've told you is I don't know if this discussion would be as necessary. I'm not sure about that, but I don't know if it would be as necessary if things were running efficiently in these areas in our life, if there was a healthy foundation. And I say this carefully because even when there is a foundation, it has to be retaught. That's what you do with, when it talks in Deuteronomy 6, you'll talk about it to your children when you sit down, walk by the way, lie down, rise up. But what if we haven't had patterns of that? It can be blown, just like we see with the Israelites, at generation after generation. You can blow what you've heard and learned. But what do you do when you haven't had that? Okay? You know that's part of this discussion. As we get to that future grace, that why did it go for 8 years? That's part of the discussion. What happens when the words I'm saying are not the words you're hearing? What I'm saying by church, by missions, by pastor, by love, by peace, by normal. What happens when we have totally different understandings of how those things play out? But the other thing is, as we're talking about love, when we're talking about love here, that what does it mean to love? Part of loving is just being there, of learning more. You know, as my dad gets older, you're watching him go through seasons of life, right? And as this season, yep, you hear him repeating. Now, he's sure he's losing his mind. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Okay? You also are hearing the things that stand out the most to him in life. So if you go, I already heard that one. And just look at me, as you already do. You see me look at my wife and you go, John David thinks whatever, but I agree with his dad or whatever. That goes on. We sit in the front row. But the other side of that is I'm collecting those stories. These are his core memories, right? The things that are valuable to him, the things that shaped him, all right? Listen, that, you know, don't collect when he says the song we used to sing. Think, who used to sing? Who? What's the group of people that used to sing that song? Sometimes you'll relate, sometimes you won't. But you got to realize he didn't invent that. It came from somewhere. Well, but you'll also hear him talk about you know, my mother, right? He goes, Diana, wherever she is, and he does that number, right? But he's still learning about her, right? Even as they get older, right? I told you, I just learned that my mother doesn't like fruit in her chocolate. Well, she's messed up, because everybody knows that fruit needs to be in the chocolate. She wants nuts in her chocolate. Nuts don't belong anywhere except by themselves. What? She's not as nuts as you think? Yes, yes. But see, I think I just divided this group in here too, right? And we all know that dark chocolate with fruit is the best combination, not milk chocolate, right? Right? But the thing, I just learned that. My mom's 700 years old. My dad's 700 more years old, right? And I'm just learning this now. And what does chocolate matter? What does chocolate matter? But when I saw my mom, who's always in heaven talking about the Lord and whatever, and she said, no fruit in the chocolate. I said, really? Now I found something. Because my mom just wants Jesus for Christmas. I can't find Jesus for it, so I want to give her something else. So it's nice to be able to find chocolate with nuts for my mother, okay? But when you love somebody, it's layers and layers. You're spending time. You're learning around them. As you take things apart, the things we're taking apart in here aren't yours or mine, right? They're above us. We must study this stuff as the created. All right, we have a hard enough time with each other, right? If I take Brad apart and he takes me apart, we have enough time going, one, I don't like it. Number two, you're doing it wrong. Be even more cautious as we do it as the created under the Creator. We must do it from down here. Jim Berg's illustration really helped me. He said, we never get up into the helicopter view. The helicopter, he's talking about a traffic camera, right? When you hear the traffic is snarled up on 222 and you see the helicopter up there that's seeing the from above, right? He said, we always have the dashboard. We're down here driving. We never get up there. When we grow in the Lord, it's not like, oh, now I see everything he sees. No, we see him. We learn of him. He knows. He understands. We need to know how to trust him more so that we can drive down here. He's the one that sees everything. So as we're figuring this out, we don't go, oh, now I get it. God, old buddy, pal, you and me, we're going to fix this world. There's always something that is beyond us that we're not understanding. So if we're talking about not to those five things, and I believe that they're valuable, remember when if you say church planning, missions, you say, well, how does that fit? We'll get to that. He's looking at the wrong way to grow the kingdom of God versus the right way. He says, well, we'll get to your missions. We'll get to your building a church. There's just something else that comes first. And then he's talking about following Jesus. Where is Jesus important? Those that want to get to God. Get to God. I was talking to one last week, and remember they said in John 14, okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, remember how that started. The disciples said, show us the Father, and it is enough. They wanted to see, to know God, to love God. What does it look like to love God? Love for God is what elevates Jesus to his place of praise, where he is the perfect prophet, priest, and king. You'll see that. David's greater son. The great king, not David, it's Jesus. Melchizedek, right? In Melchizedek, then you see not only a king, but you see the priest. He's the priest in Hebrews, according to the order of Melchizedek, right? He's better than Moses. He's better than Elijah, the great prophets. It's Jesus, the great prophet. He is better than. But it is love for God that elevates Jesus to his proper place. Do you love God? How do you grow in loving God? Well, love gets simple. Be with God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Start with a reality that's larger than your comprehension. That was very helpful when Pastor John said Ephesians 3:20. Remember, he is able to give us beyond all we can ask or think. Remember what he said? If it was only what we could ask or think, all right, then God is only as large as we can comprehend. God is beyond all we can ask or think. It's larger than us, our mind, our thoughts, our values, our goals. God is the source. So we must find what God is valuing and value it. That's why I mentioned my wife there. I love to study you if you like something that I don't find interesting at all. I'll go with you to whatever it is, and I'll watch you. I think, why are you so excited about what bores me? Okay? And I'll keep studying it then. Because if I don't study that, you say, nah, we can all have different likes. Yeah, but it's really rough when the thing that you love, I have no place for. So to love you is, I don't want to necessarily love that, but I'll study you to find why you love that. All right? Well, that's what we're doing with God. We must find what God is valuing and value it. Find what God is doing and do it. Fill our life with this. What does it require to find what God values? And then fill your life with more of these things. You guys said some good stuff. The reason I put these up, they're online. If you need help getting on there, Cindy has this up. Sometimes it takes a little while, but they're right there, right there. These are under password to protect the audio, to protect you guys talking in here, so that this is for us in here. It takes hard enough for us to understand each other. We don't need the world getting clips of what we're saying out of context here with this. But these slides are right up there. If you haven't seen that, it's a little hard to see on my computer or on my phone. It's a dull, the little down at the bottom under the audio where it has PowerPoint and notes, but it's there. So I'd love to show you if you'd like to find that in there. But think about these things. What would it require to find what God values? Just look at some of the things you set up there. Being thankful in and under his word. Are you in his word? What does submission mean? What is humility? What does it mean? How does that play out during the week? Where would you know you're slipping? Yeah, when we're not obedient to him. Yeah, good. Whoops. I just got loud. Thanks. Nope. Whatever. You can fix that. Okay, there we go. So technology can go too far, right? I have an electric shaver, right? This latest one has an app so it can analyze how I'm shaving. And there's this little red light that goes off. It really bugs me. It's a red light to show whether you shaved the right pressure and the right. I can never get the thing green. look, it looks better. I'm happy. I don't want to use the blade. I don't need another app. Everything I'm buying now has an app to show me what I'm doing with that. But can you imagine a little red light that went off every time you got outside of Humble, right? Somebody in your life is glad to tell you you're proud, you're arrogant, you're whatever. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. But what if, don't you want that sometimes? I don't want to be proud. You don't want to be proud. You know we do it. But where? How do we figure that out? All right, what are the habits of grace? Reading the Word, meditating, prayer, fellowship of the saints. What should we fellowship with? Hope you guys are able to be here tonight, and hope you bring something else besides stale pretzels, and then we can eat that tonight. All right, but is that fellowship? What should we do? How do we enjoy one another? Don't have a, just always a big spirited discussion once in a while, but what enjoy for what purpose? We sink our roots into Him, right, Haricelli? We sink our roots into Him and spread the branches out in service, which drives us back to learn more of Him. The good stuff up here. What does it require to find what God values? It's very important to consider these because those who love God see something desirable in God, something beautiful in God, something faithful. Study Him. A love for God which makes us lift up His desire and His will. We're in a day when it's you be you and I be me. It's real. We've been affected by it too. We very much think I'm special because of who I am. I'm not you. But all of us are to be conformed to the image of His Son, not to each other. That happens, and some of it's good, but we want to make sure we're holding on to Him as much as we're trying to hold on to whoever's around us. In fact, that is the tie in here. That's what we're trying to uncover. Love for God makes us study Him, which makes us lift His desires, His will. We imitate Him. We want to be a part of His work. And that's why I ask you, what do you take apart? What do you take apart? Yes, it's what's broken, but it's also the things you value and appreciate. I can fix that. I love to watch some of you be able to take apart things that I can't. I love to watch Susie take apart our dryer. She's done it again and again and again. I thought, for me, it's just like, thank God we didn't have to buy a new one. But then I look at and watch the process. She watched it on YouTube, and then she says, go away, I got it. I said, well, what about this? She said, I got it. You just mess it up. And Susie's right. She said, all you do, John, is show me something broken, and you say, we're going to fix it, and then I turn around, and you're gone, she says. right. But then it's fun when I watch. Fun to watch her try to figure it out. Okay, well, that's what we're talking. We imitate Him. We want to be a part of His work. God is in you to work, to will, and to do His good pleasure. It's these that want His kingdom to come, His will to be done. We see Him working. We see His love working for the redemption of His people. We see Him sustaining. We see Him protecting. We see Him comfortable, and we're comfortable being close to Him. We're not on eggshells. Remember, I told you, I think a lot of churches talk about the love of God, not because we see the love of God. I think it's because people have this slight fear that I'm not good enough for God and that He's mad at me. He's not mad at me. He loves me. He loves me. I know He loves me. Sometimes me thinks He protesteth too much. I think we're trying to prove to ourselves He loves us. Look at God. Look at God. You ever see me do this? That's from me watching my grandpa. My grandma hated that my grandpa did that. But he sat everywhere, and he pushed his nose, and she would make fun of him like that. Well, of course, I thought that was cool to imitate him. And I did it, and then my mom goes, you've been with my father. That's right. And then my wife goes, my whole marriage, he's been doing that. Right, stupid things, right? Be imitators of Him as beloved children. And walk in love, right? Ephesians 5:2. That's all we're talking about. I want to be part of His work. I want to do what He's doing. You're not on eggshells around Him because you go, no, that's my dad. However respectfully we say that. My God. I don't have to worry about a nicer God coming and stealing the affection because that's my dad. See, and why am I talking about that? All the false teaching things that come through the New Testament. Remember? False teaching is only dangerous because we want it. That's what we've been saying on Wednesday nights. It's meeting some need that looks right, but it's not. But we go for it because it seems to be coming from God. So, in Isaiah 40, remember, when they're talking about false gods, they go, to whom should I compare God? The Lord, the everlasting God, does not sleep. He does not grow tired. His understanding is, I love that word, inscrutable. Inscrutable. And then it goes on and on. I love the end of Isaiah 40. You look at it, all right? In the Bible, on the other side, I'm coming in for a landing here. This is trying to help us understand the world we're talking about. The other side of loving God is being sloppy with Him. Sloppy with His Word. Sloppy with our fellowship with Him. Sloppy with imitating Him. Sloppy, back to what Araceli said, with obeying. We just don't obey. I want you to see this. I was thinking about that this week, and let's just do it in the book of Jeremiah. Ready? Jeremiah 6. Let's do it. 6:10. Read it. Somebody. No mic, so use your best, I told my child not to do this voice. Come on, I've got about 20 of these verses, so you got to get quick. Jeremiah 6. Good, Brad, go. Stare at it before we go to the next one. The word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Brad, read 19.
Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also.
Somebody read 11:10. 11:8. Cole, read 10. Somebody read 13, 10 and 11. Remember this? And then, Brian, you're going to read verse 17 in a minute, but remember up at the beginning of chapter 13, go buy a linen waistband, put it around your waist, but don't put it in water. So I bought it. Then he said, take the waistband, verse 4, and go to the Euphrates, hide it there in a crevice of the rock. Verse 6, arise, take up the waistband. I went and dug, and I took it up, and lo, verse 7, the waistband was ruined. It was totally worthless. Thus says the Lord, just so I will destroy the pride of Judah, verse 9, the great pride of Jerusalem. And then you heard verse 10 and 11. Read verse 17, Brian. Yes. Yeah, and look at the next verse. It will come about if you listen attentively to me. Who listens attentively? Chapter 22, verse 5. 21, Luke. Look at everything surrounding that. The wind will sweep away all your shepherds. Your lovers will go into captivity. Then you'll surely be ashamed and humiliated because of all your wickedness. Verse 21. I spoke to you in your prosperity. You said, I will not listen. This has been your practice from your youth, but you have not obeyed my voice. 25, 4 to 5. Verse 7. Yeah, same thing, Stan. Verse 7. Remember, anger is the other side of love. Anger means something is precious, and you crossed it. That's why don't get rid of your anger. Analyze what your anger says about your loves. Is your anger like God with what you're angry about and how you're angry? Verse 20, that's 25, 7, 29, 19. Yes. 32:33. I hear the pages stop. That means you had it, but you didn't want to read it. Come on. They turn their back to me and not their face, though I taught them. Teaching again and again. 35, 14 to 16. Yeah, it is. Because listen to this next part. Go.
I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me.
Keep going.
I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now every one of you from the evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to serve them, and then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. But you did not incline your ears to listen to me.
One more. You want to do the New Testament version? Just quick. Now you got to jump a little more. Matthew 7, 24. Matthew 7, 24. There I should hear chunks turning in your Bible. Keep going. Keep going. And great was its 13:15. Just a couple more coming in for a landing here. 14 and 15. John 3:36. Which one? Say it again, Arisa. 13, 14, and 15. Matthew 13:14 and 15. John 3:36. Yes. Acts 28:27. I'm going to read while you're turning there. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you'll keep on hearing but not understand. This is 28:26, Acts. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. The heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Two more. 2 Timothy 4. You know this one. 2 Timothy 4. All right, preach the word, right? Preach the word is verse 2. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Myths. Hebrews 5:11 is the last one that I'm going to use here. Hebrews 5:11, you got it?
Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing.
All right, there you go. Why don't people listen to God's words? Why don't they obey them? Whether they profess to fear God or not. I'll take off the table because you need the Spirit to understand, and apart from the Spirit, we can't. Yep, that's exactly right. That's true. There is a line between the believer and the unbeliever. Now work on the rest of this. On the rest of this. Give me a range. Just like I said, when do we take things apart? Brad.
And why don't kids listen to their parents? Because the wisdom and experience of sources outside of themselves don't really matter because it's something that they themselves
have not experienced and have not been able to know themselves.
Outside doesn't, just pass that mic around. Just grab it. Don't wait for me. Seth, look. Where is anybody? Come on. Why? Answer it. Wisdom experience outside doesn't matter because I haven't. Is it you? All right. I haven't experienced. Go, Stan.
The two things that come to mind is one, they're not understanding the bigger vision for why more than their immediate thought processes. So it's limited sight and understanding. But the other thing is, I think there's a matter they don't love it enough or love the person enough to eclipse their own understanding, that they don't see the obedience as something. The respect and love isn't enough to make up the difference for crossing what they want to do.
Respect person enough to cross what they think appropriate. Remember, I'm learning to love appropriate I'm learning to love my wife, learning to love my kids the way not the way I should, because I'm afraid we'll say the way you think I should. Remember, I think a lot of what we do for Christ is based on, you'll think I'm a bad Christian if, rather than saying it comes as a direct response of me seeing God. I'm afraid we're like blind people touching an elephant, and we say, this is what the elephant looks like. Every one of us will say, this is what God is, and we're only seeing part of it, right? But as we're learning to love, I'm convinced love includes having to see things a way that totally doesn't make sense to you just because you're trying to understand them. So remember, when John Mark and I have had our issues, and we continue to, maybe it's my fault, maybe it's his fault, whatever. But I remember him coming up and saying, Dad, remember those words between the songs? He said, I didn't listen to them one bit until I watched how long it took you to put them together. And I thought, well, somebody should give attention to what you struggled with. He said that on his own, out of the blue, and I thought, yeah, that kid. I don't care about those words. I care that anything that we're doing needs to be intentional and have a purpose. And if, like Brad said, we can't look for what that purpose is, it doesn't mean it's right. But it's not what you think the purpose is, it's what is a purpose. So follow that higher. Limited sight, we don't love, respect. This was my whole point of saying, when do we take things apart? Part of it's broken. But if you're not careful, when it's broken, we go to God to get what we want fixed. We didn't go to study Him. Tracy, where are you going?
Pride. I mean, we think we know. Even though we look and see what God's Word says, we sometimes think, okay, well, I know this is what it says there, but you know, I think I should do it this way. We think sometimes we know better than God, so it's a pride.
Okay, we know. So don't inspect our assumptions. We don't inspect. Remember, I told you Don Whitney's book, just the title grabs me. It's a little tiny little book, all right, that about how how to have a title grabs me and I can't remember it. It was talking about having a spiritual health inspection.
Jeez,
how to diagnose your spiritual health or something like that. It's just a tiny little book. Yeah, not quite. Ten questions. Whatever. To diagnose you, yeah. So yeah, I just blew that, right? But I could see the book sitting there. And that, I remember when I read that, I thought, no, that's what he's saying. Anybody that's cared about their physical health or anything else, we're saying, well, what about your spiritual health? Can we take that apart? Don't just say, yeah, I love God. Don't just say, I'm trying the best I can, right? Remember I told you I went into the doctor, I finally got a doctor, and he took one look at me and said, you know, you got to eat a little less or something like that. And, you know, I figured, well, I'm not even going to try to tell him what my answers are, right? He ain't going to hear that. He'll just look at me and go, are you done? It's like, I still think that. So what she said, we know, meaning sometimes you do know. This whole discussion in here, I'm not so much looking to teach new things as I am looking to take what you already know about God and say, tell me, prove, show what that lives like. You go back and look. We submit to Him and to His Word. Go back and meditate on that. Study Him and show that you are enamored with His presence and show how that plays into this discussion. That's where it says, encourage one another day after day so you're not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Is that Harold?
We're lazy. We like our pleasures. Why don't I do my devotions regularly? Because Prime Video is more entertaining and surfing YouTube to follow my interests is easier.
Like our pleasures. Anybody that has a device knows that if you don't have to pay for a streaming service to get YouTube, you can sit on there forever. I told you those. I didn't know what a Facebook reel is. Now I do. It catches me every night. Just they have catchy little stories. You click on one, and it leads to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. Like our pleasures. Easier to surf. And if you feel holy because you don't surf, you fill in the blank. It's easier to than to, yeah, you fill in the blank. Whatever that blank is, you fill it in. Why don't people listen to God's words or obey them, whether they profess fear or not? Charles.
Along with seeing the bigger picture, it's probably possible to see it, but I think of Jesus' words, take care how you listen. And I think that builds on itself. So when we take care how we listen, that, you know, the sword of the Spirit is, you know, we're obeying that. And then I think that builds on itself and helps us to see the bigger picture because, you know, in one sense, we're paying attention to that.
Say it one more time so I don't misquote you. Perhaps we see God, kingdom, the bigger picture, maybe even the problem, but what?
We need to take care how we listen to the words, and that's
right.
What leads to obedience.
That's right. That right or wrong, that's been my prayer in here. A healthy church. You remember church? Church isn't a building. Church isn't a denomination. All right? Church is a group of people created and loved by God, tied by their relationship to God. Born again means you don't attend. It means it's originated by God, but it's accepted individually. All right? That's who the church is. Okay? So a healthy church is speaking the truth in love. You know Ephesians 4, 15, 16. You've got to memorize that. We are to grow up in all aspects to Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What does growth look like? See, and there the point is not, are you getting it? The point is, are we getting it? There's work in here until we all attain to the unity of the faith. He gave pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. So it's how we listen. Take heed. That's right out of Scripture, right? Take heed how you listen. And that's what we're saying. Listen in a different way. Listen again. Remember, it just haunts me. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Him who has ears, I'm listening. Him who has ears, you're not listening. You're not listening. See, and you say, stop it. I am listening. Okay, fine, you're listening. All right? He needs to determine. Jonathan?
Well, we don't want it. The love that that we're supposed to have for God, which is meant to flow into action, has been turned in on ourselves into living for ourselves. And you mentioned the whole spirit side, and that we're not going to go into that.
Yeah,
whatever is there, we see clearly that this is teaching that the responsibility is on us. And when we don't obey, the guilt is on us. We can't blame God for our non-desire to seek Him. It's our hearts that are choosing to love us instead of God. And I don't know. I guess that's where the Spirit comes in, is depending on God for the love and asking Him for that, because it's not going to originate inside of us.
Our hearts choosing to know the love of God, to love God. Do you remember? So help him out. Help me out. Right? Our hearts choosing to... It's all right, let's just say... Yeah, let's just say that. Yes, and like Araceli said, it yield to the Spirit. And I'm not trying to eliminate these pieces. They're all there, but if we talk about everything, we end up talking about nothing, right? And that what he's saying is what I wanted to go after. It's back to what Harold said. What the other side of lazy is, you're not lazy. You're passionate about something other than, right? I'm really working on that, right? I lost all my slaves. They all went away to college, right? So now I have to beat some new slaves, right? So I just look around. It's like, well, Abby's at work. Andrew. And he's like, what? And he gets that look like a lamb to the slaughter as he comes to you. You know, it's like, well, bud, just 10 more things, all right? When this house is clean, you can walk away. There's no comprehension. There's no desire. It's just another thing, all right? He comes in yesterday, right? All right, because I lose all my slaves, so who's going to mow the lawn? Andrew, it's you, buddy. The girls go, no, he can't do it because he does S's, right? Straight line, right? He comes in and goes, Dad, you know, when the grass is really high and you're able to see the lane when you cut it down like that, he goes, Dad, that's really cool. And I said, there it is, boy. That is a man. I said, keep going and cut the next lane and the next lane, right? But it's taking. That's why I said it is obedience. It is obedience, all right? You're rebellious. I'm rebellious. How do you know? Because he said it in here. If you went back through every one of those passages, do you realize half the time they're going, remember in Matthew? Well, when were you hungry? Right? When were you naked? We would have visited you, right? Depart from me. I never knew you. And you go, he didn't give me a shot. Look at Jeremiah. Look at all those verses surrounding that. And said, I tried. I sent them to you again and again and again, and you would not listen. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to them. You have to listen to him. And then you have to see, what are the means he's given me to show me myself? If I'm not careful, I'm demanding perfect mentors. You go, no, not perfect ones, just ones that don't. You're going to have to learn. Balaam from a donkey. There. Go, Tracy. Yes, Araceli.
Read that again. Why don't people yes. obey God's word?
Yes. John 3:36. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Totally. Yeah, totally. And that's been the point. I'm sorry, guys, for wrong guilt that's in here. But remember, I've told you a whole pile said I was doing fine till I came in here. I thought I was growing. I knew I wasn't perfect, but I thought I was fine. Now I wonder if I can ever do it, if I'll ever be good enough, okay? Well, that's concerned me. When people in here go, no, we're all sinners just like you. It's all a bunch of sinners in here. If we're not careful, we're trying to identify with each other by our sins rather than the holy God that we're attached to. You know what you're saying? You follow that out. If you're not careful, we wouldn't want to be in a church full of angels, right? Because remember, his ministering spirits always do his will. Well, then you would be the only Andrew in the bunch. You know, the angels ran around to do his will, and you're like, I did enough today. Well, you're the one that's often, we vote you off the island. Here, it's amazing when you see the love that God has to use you and me. We have this treasure in earthen or clay vessels, so that the excellency may be of God and not of us. He's the one saying, you can be useful for his kingdom now. You can please God. And what's the only line? What Tracy said. Those that are regenerate, born again. There's somebody that's not born again that looks nicer than you. There's somebody that's going to be apart from God forever who has the quality you wish you had. Don't try to be patient. Yield to the Spirit, and you will be patient like him, more patient. See, it's the source. That's what we're talking about. Do you love God? You only have to love me because you have to love God. You only have to listen to me because you listen to God. Don't listen to God. So born again, and that's what I'm saying. If some of you feel maybe he's saying I'm not saved, don't run away from that. Show your passport. When the churches are that messed up, you can't say all the churches are messed up. Yes, you could be messed up and saved, but if there's not the Spirit in there, that should scare us. If you get what you want in a church and there's no Spirit, that's scary. And there's whole groups of people, and that's what I want you to see in Jeremiah. These are the people of God. And he goes, no, you're not. Revelation 2 and 3, right? Change or I'll remove your candlestick, right? The seven churches. Don't see that as negative. See it as what Araceli said. Just turn to him, obey, listen. That's what I've told my kid. I use fool or stupid more than you think I should and more than I think I should. But I've told my kids, the other side of you're a fool is that was wise. Look in Proverbs. They're one line away from each other. The fool does this. The wise does this. So I said, you could stop being a fool anytime you want. That was wise. Make sure you tell your kid or whoever that they were good for every time you told them they're bad. All right? And that's not a thing, but you need both sides, and we usually notice the bad, all right? So why don't they listen? And we're going to just say that here, not born again. That is a key, and you shouldn't run from that. You're alive now. The time to get God's grace is now. So let 10 people tell you you're not saved. Check your passport and look to God. He's the one that determines your heart. Then you can be saved, all right? It's terrible to hold on to something just because you don't want to be thought of as unsaved and say, no, I want the Spirit of God inside of me. Anything else? Harold, thank you.
Jonathan.
Triggered. Was,
you know, I think I'm saying the same thing a little different, I think.
Say it.
We think that, this is among those who are believers.
Yes.
We put a lot of emphasis on our sanctification, God's work in us. But there's obviously a part that we can fail at. So otherwise we'd all be completely sanctified. Mm-hmm. So we need to do our part. So we don't pray, Lord, help me do the dishes and not do them. You know, if he's nudging us to do our dishes, do the dishes, we better get up out of our chair and go do them. And we do a lot of, it's easy to pray and not do our spiritual disciplines.
Yeah. You remember? Remember, I keep saying it. It's easier to go to a consistent extreme than to stay at the center of biblical tension. Watch. See, it's why I want us to read church history a little more. Read your Bible first, right? But when you read church history, you realize, oh my word, for every this 100-year period, they were all talking about this. Now this 100-year period, they're all talking about this. And but before you go, this age is worse than that age, or this age was better, you got to look at a whole bunch of different things. And you watch, go back and forth between that. The same with the Calvin-Arminian debate. First, you got to figure out, what do they even mean when they say Calvinist? What do they even mean by Arminian? Why did they bring it up? Okay? But every one of these, why do they want to, what do they mean by charismatic? What do they mean by tongues? What do they mean by the Holy Spirit? Well, here, what is the effort? You ought to look up every verse that talks about the effort we are supposed to put in. When we're so worried about grace, see, I think we're running around doing effort. You want another kid example? I'll have the kids, how many times have your kids come back to you and said, if I do this, I get in trouble, and if I do this, I get in trouble. I can't win with you, Dad, right? Have you ever had your kid do the victim thing? Like that, I tried. No matter what I do, it's wrong. I can never please you. And you go, well, I asked you to do this. Do this, come back, and then, all right? Well, the same thing. Are you putting effort, not just effort, but effort where God wants you to do it? And you go, yes, he said in this verse, put effort here. And I said, what about, he said in this verse, put effort here. You know where we're going with this? What does it mean to follow? You can't be a disciple maker until you first understand what it is to be a disciple. We'll pick it up. Lord Jesus, thank you for the stimulation that this has done for me as I think throughout the week. Well, how do I love my wife? How do I love my kid? I love 7 kids. How do we get 7 kids? There's too many. They're too different. How do we care for these 90 people that you put here? 90 seems so many. How do I know how to love you? How do I listen better to you? How can I be content, secure inside of your love so that I can take even your discipline and say, I am thankful for a father who corrects me, or a father who is patient with me, who, like Jeremiah in the middle of Lamentations with nothing good, can say, this I pondered, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness, his hesed, his mercies It's faithful loyalty. They never cease. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, would you use whatever, our prosperity or our pain, our hurt, our fears, to drive us to not only come to you for answers, but to see you. Would you show us a little bit more of your glory? Would you take the veil from our eyes so we don't have to see something new? We see what you've given us already. Thank you, Father, for this discussion. Continue to work on us individually and together. In Jesus' name, amen.